Open up to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me tonight. And as you're opening up to 1 Peter chapter 2, the reason why we shared these stories is because Peter's going to talk about something tonight. It's called submission. And as we talked about these stories, the common thread in all the stories was this, that we have people in our lives that tried to like make us like submit to them and say, look, you're better than me. I put you above me. I admit you're better than me. And they would hold us down, and we hated to do it, right? It was everything against us and everything that we are to say, I don't want to say that you're better than me. I will not admit it. And they'd be like, or whatever they do to you. And they would try to force you to. And so this thing of submission is actually a common thing in our lives. And those are just some funny stories, but as we start to really look at the details of our life, this like topic of submission goes pretty deep. It's in the classroom, it's in your families, it's amongst your friends, it's all over the place, being willing to submit to other people, and this constant struggle for power, and the other side of it is rebellion. And let's face it, we live in a culture that rebellion, like if you're the rebel, we like worship rebels. I don't know why. But it's all about who will you submit to. And Peter's going to approach this topic with us tonight and kind of hopefully highlight it a little bit for us. So will you read with me 1 Peter chapter 2? We're going to start in verse 13. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Didn't that last line just sound really hard? Like it sounds like really cool? No? Like you'd hear it in a night movie. He's like, honor the emperor. No? Anyway, I'm the only one that feels that way. Stephen Gurgis, that's his favorite verse in the Bible because of that. If you guys know Stephen. Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. Peter takes a big stand here. And let's look at the background real quick so we understand what Peter's going to talk about in this passage. So far, we've talked about this theme of holiness, right? What were some details about holiness you guys remember that we've been going over for the last like 8 weeks?
Booger-free water.
100% the way we're supposed to be is holy, okay? Just like God. What else about holiness is he talked about? What are some things that holiness does to us as this work's done inside of us? Holly? It sets us apart. Awesome. So people notice a difference in us? Yeah, Christ would be our cornerstone of our holiness so that our whole life starts to look like Christ and take on the dimensions of Christ and who He is. What else? What does it produce within us? Love. All right, and last week, we talked about this, or the week before, we talked about this craving that we get for God and pure spiritual milk and this love that is produced inside of us. And when people see this love, they're like, wow, that's something I can't even understand. It just blows my mind that someone could love that much. That must be God's love. There's no other option. And so Peter's looking at this theme of love that we just kind of finished up here, and he's pulling it into this topic. Because you love so much, because this crazy, awesome, extreme love is inside of you because of what Jesus did, he's saying, this is what we need to do. This should be part of who you are. And he starts off and he uses that word, submit. Submit yourselves. Who can tell me what submit means? To give yourself to the Lord?
To obey?
Dave?
Surrender,
that's an awesome word. Anything else? Those are pretty good. Let me read you what the dictionary says about this word. It was a Greek military term, all right? And it was used in the military to say this, to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. So you would basically say, Lauren Figley, I now W... Commander Lauren Figley. All right? Now, this entire group here has to be your troop. They're your division. You are in charge of them. What's their responsibility now? To submit under this commander and do what she says. All right? To obey her. Well, when it's not used as a military term, this is what the word means. This might be a little closer here, how Peter's using it. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. What different shade of meaning does this have from the military term? The other one's like, hey, do what I say. What is this implying? What's that first word I said there? Voluntary. And the last definition said carrying a burden. That doesn't at all sound like I need to go, yes, Lauren, whatever you say I'm going to do. That sounds like, please, Lauren, let me serve you however I can. That bag looks really heavy, Lauren. Let me carry that for you because you're my commander. Let me volunteer to do things to serve you and put you first. And so as we look at this word, submit yourselves, Peter's not necessarily telling us that we have to obey every single authority that ever existed, no matter what they say, period. Peter's saying, this is bigger than that. If you think that's a lot, guess what I'm really asking you to do if you have holiness inside of you? If you have this love we're talking about that's so extreme, you should be able to submit in a way that's voluntary. That craving we just finished talking about should drive you to say, I will submit myself. I will serve. I will voluntarily carry burdens for other people. And then look what he says, for the Lord's sake. You know, the authorities that are set up in your life just there because some dudes decided to vote and he was the most popular one and now you get to listen. Or you happen to go to a certain school, so that person just, they don't really know what they're talking about. They're my teacher, so I got to respect them. These authorities that are in your life, God put them there. And he asks you to respect them and to love them and to put them first. Not just obey, but go above and beyond that obedience and serve, love, carry the burdens of these people. Because it's for the Lord. As if it were the Lord, because he's the one asking you to do it. And then look at who he says we're supposed to do this for. To every authority instituted among men. I looked down through the Greek here, because, you know, Greek's awesome. And I'm looking through it and I'm saying, what does this mean? It actually says this. To every human creature. So specifically what Peter's telling us here is not just institutions that are set up like the government. You need to like obey them because they're the government and they have guns. No, it's not just that, because they'll stick Lucas Hobbs in jail if he breaks the law. It's not just that. Might be a good idea, Lucas. Anyway, I saw you. What he's saying is... Oh, okay. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. So he says, every human creature... Every single human creature. Well, how do I submit to every single human creature? What if Lauren tells me, hey, Rob, go bark like a dog. Ruff, 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 and I'm barking like a dog over here. And then all these girls are like, hey, don't listen to her. You need to jump up and down like a frog. So I'm like, oh, yeah, ruff, ruff, ruff. And then someone says, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then I have a million different people telling me to do a million different things. And I'm responsible to obey every single person, every living creature on the earth. How does that make any sense? What is Peter getting at here? And then we got to go back to this definition of what submit means. It's not just obey what people say. It's beyond that. It's saying, I'm going to put every single human creature on this world above my own desires and will and well-being. I'm going to say that I'll bow down, not necessarily in obedience, but I'll bow down and say, you're more worthy than me. I'm going to put you up above my own needs. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to carry your burden. And it's not just those people that you like. It's not just the people that it's easy to do that to. It's every human creature. It's the people that are hard to get along with. It's the people that you don't necessarily like. You know how I know Peter's implying that here? Because the people he's talking to right now, this audience, is being persecuted for their faith. These people are being dragged out of their homes for being Christians, and they're being beaten and murdered. I cued that. We do that here. Somebody make sure nobody's dead outside. Thank you for the sound effect, Dave. A little nervous now. This may be the last night of Firehouse, y'all. Thank you for coming for the past couple years. Where were we? Does anyone know where we are? Murdered. How could I forget? So Peter's talking to these people, and they were seriously not, they're not living like the awesome life where they get to come to church and just enjoy God and enjoy all these awesome things and go home and run out and tell people about Jesus. That's our life. That's us. These people are going to church and they're scared to death that people are going to drag them out and kill them. They're afraid to go home because people might have seen them worshiping God and they're coming up saying, you're a Christian, we're going to kill you. And he's telling them to love every single human creature. How dare he tell them that? What he's saying is, you know what? It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if you like them or not, get along with them or not. It doesn't matter if it's easy or not. God has set this thing up where Jesus Christ went to a cross and he sacrificed himself for a bunch of people who hated him. And because that's the love that we're talking about that's inside of you, that's the same love and service that you should be able to give other people, whether you like them or not. Whether it's easy to or not. Submit to them, every single human creature. And then he goes on, he says, whether to the king as the supreme authority. Well, wait a second. The king's the supreme authority? Does that not sound a little odd to anyone? What sounds wrong about that? God's supposed to be the supreme authority. So is Peter saying that the king is above God here? How do we know that? What do we see in the text that tells us that that's not what Peter's trying to tell us? Yeah, what kind of authority is he talking about? The human authority, right? So don't get that wrong as we read through this and be confused. He's saying that out of all the men, out of all the humans, the king is the supreme authority of humans. He's not saying that he's above God, so don't take that wrong as we read this. But as the highest of all man's authority, he puts the king. Now here's the deal. In this culture, people were worshiping this emperor. They had this form of emperor worship where they thought he was actually God. And so if you followed the law and you obeyed this government, then you were worshiping your king. But if you were a Christian, you weren't worshiping the king. So what did that say about how you felt toward the government? So they feared you were going to take over the king, take over the government. You wanted to start a rebellion. And that these people, these Christians were troublemakers because they didn't worship the king. They worshiped this guy named Jesus. And so Peter says, even the king, this guy that everybody's worshiping, that's sending his people out to kill you. Look at what the next phrase says. Or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now, people would recognize that the king was worshipped and that he was a bad guy. They probably didn't see the emperor very often. But these governors came along a lot. These governors lived around them in their villages, in their cities and towns, and these governors would show up personally to their homes and to their churches with soldiers, and they were the ones who arrested these Christians. So he's getting even more personal now, not just the king. That's almost easy to do because you don't see this guy. Even the people that he sends to come and drag you out of your homes and kill you, you should even be willing to submit to these guys. It seems almost foreign. Look what they do. They're sent by him to punish those who do wrong. We recognize that. You break the law, you go to jail. Right, Lucas? Okay. And to commend those who do right. Well, how often do like the police like pull you over and they're like, here, dude, here's a candy cane because you were driving the speed limit. Yes, 5 under. Good job. You got your seatbelt on. Here's a Snicker bar. Like, that just doesn't happen. You don't get... Are there any instances you guys can think of where people are rewarded in our culture for doing good? Nobel, yeah. Yeah, in school, in our government, though. Like, how about the Nobel Peace Prize? Different awards like that that people get. What if you go to a library and it's like the George Jonkamonka Library, whatever. I can't think of a last name right now. I was going to say Washington, and that would have been lame. I'm just kidding. He's our founding father. So why would that library have his name on there? He probably did something really sweet for that community or that library, so they named it in his honor. So what these guys would do, listen, what these governors would do is not only just punish the wrong, but they were also supposed to commend or honor those who do right. And that's going to play an important part in a minute here, because if Lucas were to, I keep going to you, sorry, your brother's somewhere else and I can't, the shirt color, it's throwing me off. All right, so, sorry, ADD. So, if Lucas were to do like something really sweet for Merritt Island, let's just say that if we were back in that culture, this governor would show up to him and go, hey, we're going to put this big statue up right here. Boom. And it's Lucas, you know, your face and everything. It's all Lucas like throwing his hair out of his eye. It's Lucas. And this statue is in your honor and it would say what you did. And they'd have this big ceremony for you and they would honor these people for doing an awesome work for the community. And that was part of what they were supposed to do. Well, let's see how that plays into our text in just a minute here. Verse 15. He says, "For it is God's will, right, that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." So all these people that are going around trying to kill Christians, these people that are going around saying these Christians are no good, they hate the government, they hate all of us, they want to overthrow us, they want anarchy, they're rebels, and they're trying to kill you, that by doing good, because part of what their job is to honor and commend the people that are doing good. As Christians, shouldn't you want to do good? As Christians, shouldn't that holiness, that righteousness that we talked about from Isaiah that's produced within you, have some amazing works that all the nations around you will look at your works and say, wow, they must be a people that the Lord has blessed. Remember when we saw that in Isaiah 60? And so he's saying that same exact concept, almost the same words of Isaiah, that as you do good, these people won't be able to talk anymore about you. Their mouths will shut up because the things that you do will be so empowered by the love that you have from Christ, that as you go around and you submit and serve other people, put other people before yourself, it's going to shut their mouths. They won't be able to go around and point their finger at you because they'll say, wow, what is different about them? They really do practice what they preach. We say that they're evil, we say that they're doing all this stuff, but look at what Derek Sawyer does for this place. Look at the works, look at the humility in this guy. And so it will silence them. There was, you guys probably know this story of a pastor who, he had this really, really rich church. Lots of people had lots of money in their church, and big, big church. One Sunday morning, he just kind of wanted to test his people, just see where their hearts were at. Kind of a goofy guy, he was wild, so he dresses up like a homeless guy. Gets all dirty, rolls around in the mud, puts all his homeless clothes on, and then he goes and lays down on a bench in front of the church on a Sunday morning just before the service. And all the church members start showing up for service as they're walking in. They're like, whew, you know, that dude smells. And they're like, you can see them whispering to each other, like, pss, 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 pointing at him. Like, who's going to get that guy out of here? Not one person stops as they walk in to say hi. Not one person checks on him to see if he's even alive and shake him. Not one person invites him into the service. And as each person keeps walking past him, eventually some deacons in the back are like, which one's going to go drag him out of here? He doesn't belong here. All of a sudden, it's time for the service, and this guy gets up. And he starts walking down the aisle, and people are like, how dare he? Oh, he's walking in. He smells so bad. I hope he doesn't sit by me. He's walking down the aisle, and he goes all the way up to the pulpit, and he pulls his hood back, and then they see, wow, that's our pastor. I try to put myself in their position and wonder what kind of like shame they must feel in their heart, like smack right in the face, like, wow. Did their actions show that by being a Christian, they were better for it? Did their actions show, I am God's child. I am a person that's blessed by God. Did the good that they did that day show that? Or was the fact that people could point at Christians and say, you're no good, and today you confirmed it for me because look at your actions. Look at the things you've done. And I ask myself, the things that I do and choices I make, when people approach me, are they going to solidify in people's minds that I suck? You know, that I'm not good, that I am not of God, that I'm not a person the Lord has blessed? Or as they come up to me and interact with me, they're going to say, wow, the things you do are so loving. The things you do, you definitely can't do on your own. You must be a person the Lord has blessed. Or am I just going to confirm in their mind that Christians are horrible? And I urge us all to think about that. Think about your life. Think about the way you interact with people. What do your actions tell other people about you? There could be people in this room tonight visiting that they don't know any of us. And they're looking around like, who are these people? Like, are your actions with them loving? Do you accept people like that in? Or are they like that dude out back that nobody even stopped to say hi to? How about the way you treat others as they look on and see how you guys treat each other who are supposed to be loving Christ? Do you treat each other with love and respect and lift each other up? Do you serve each other? Or are they seeing a bunch of people grouping up in a firehouse, being mean to each other, talking behind each other's backs, gossiping, ripping each other up? What are they seeing? Are our actions confirming that we have Christ in us and we're different? Or are actions confirming that Christians are horrible and I don't want to be one of them? So Peter says, do good because you will silence the ignorant talk of these foolish people. And then in verse 16, he says, live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Now look at this. He starts off, he says, live as free men. And then he ends by saying, live as servants. How can you say both things in the same sentence? How does that even make sense? What does it mean when I'm able to live as a free man, when I say I'm a Christian? Anyone know? Who can tell me what living as a... How am I able to live as a free man?
You know everything's taken care of. You don't have to worry as much about things.
You don't have to worry about things like death and hell and eternity separated from God. What else? Yeah, you're free from the bondage of sin. You don't have to worry about all this physical stuff in your life, trying to enjoy life for every second you can because you're about to die and you don't know where you're going. You know you have an eternity with a God of the universe that you're going to be with, and you don't have to lash out at everybody. You're able to laugh. You're able. What was I even going to say there? You're able to act to people, act among people. I'm really stuck here. Somebody help me. You live. That was the word I was looking for. You're able to live in a way that shows other people, I have an eternity with the maker of the universe, and I love you, and I want to serve you, and I'm not worried about where I'm going. I'm free. I'm free from sin. I'm free from death. I'm free from bondage. I am free because Christ made me free, and His blood has changed me. But as I live free in Christ, that's no excuse for me to say, I know where I'm going. I'm saved. It's secure. Now I can do whatever I want. I can live how I want. I can be all over my girlfriend and there's no repercussion to that. I can gossip about all my friends and who cares? I could cheat on tests. I could steal stuff. Drugs, no big deal. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Your actions do count. Your actions do matter. Peter's saying, don't use your salvation as an excuse for you to be able to go live however you want to live and avoid sin and ignore the sin that's in your life. Because it matters. Because you're taking that and slapping a holy God in the face saying, you don't matter. You saved me. Who cares? Now I'm going to live how I want. He's saying you should now live as God's slave. Remember we talked about craving? He's not saying live as God's slave because, oh, I've got to do this because I don't want to go to hell. He's saying you should crave your God. Be His slave willingly. Remember we said voluntarily? Crave to serve your God in a way that you don't use your salvation to be able to do whatever sin you want. I'm free, I can do what I want. You crave to serve God. It's better to be His servant than to be a free man without Him. Any of you guys ever seen Robin Hood? But like, I'm not just talking about Robin Hood. Like the original 90s Robin Hood with like Kevin Costner. Yeah, and he's like... Da 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 da. No? Anyway. It's an awesome movie. You need to see it if you haven't seen it. Those of you who have seen that Robin Hood, the beginning of the movie, probably every Robin Hood story starts off this way. I don't know. It's just the only one I really saw. So the new one stunk, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw that. Anyway, that movie starts off where Robin Hood saves somebody's life. The whole movie starts off that way. Do you guys remember who saw the movie? Who does he save? You remember? Do you remember?
Well, he doesn't actually save anybody.
Somebody said it.
Dave?
I can't hear you.
Maid Marian?
No, not yet. Just before that.
He shows over in the hole in that. He gives some water as he dies.
Yeah, okay. What is he?
He's a crusader.
Yeah, he's an Arab. Okay? He's a Moor. They call him Moors. Basically, he saves this guy's life. Who had nothing to do with him. He was from a different race. He was from a different religion. Robin Hood goes up. He saves this guy's life. Because he saves this guy's life, what does the guy say back to Robin Hood? Who remembers?
I owe you my
life. I hope he does. Say it again, Derek. Say it loud.
I owe you my life, so I'm going to be your servant.
I owe you my life, so I'm going to be your servant now. And so this guy says, hey, you just saved my life. I'm following. Robin Hood's like, get away from me. He's like, no, I'm following. He's like, no, stop following me. I don't want you with me. He's like, no, I'm. And he just keeps like the little dog that like follows the big dog around. That was him. And he would not leave Robin Hood alone. He's like, I am your slave now. I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want because you saved my life. And it wasn't like, oh, here we go. I guess I better serve you. It was, wow, I'm so grateful because you saved my life. That out of gratitude, I want to follow you and submit to you and serve you. Does that sound familiar? That Jesus Christ has saved your life. How should that change you? What kind of submission should show up in your heart? As you live as a free man, you should live as God's servant willingly. Not as an excuse to sin, but as an excuse to freely serve Him, voluntarily serve Him. Before, you had no choice. Now you can voluntarily say, I bow before You, I love You, I want to serve You because You saved my life. And even though I'm free, I want to follow You and be like You. I don't want this sin in my life. And then the last verse, he says this. He kind of sums up this whole passage for us, brings it together. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone say that last word I said. What was it?
Everyone.
Just like a few people? Just Clara Bailey. Everyone. We're to show the proper respect to everyone. Here's how you do it. He says in 3 points. He alliterates it almost for us. 3 points. Love the brotherhood of believers. Let's love each other. That's you guys right here who believe in Christ that fill this room right now. This church, these people here that gather together. He says love them. And he's talking about that radical, crazy, extreme love, Sam, that is like, I will serve you and I'll go out of my way for you. But I feel like if we actually looked at ourselves, guys, if we looked at the way we act to each other, it's not this picture that Peter's painting. That's not the love that we have for each other. Sometimes we have this really superficial love that's like, yeah, I asked them how they were doing today. But then I walked over here and I critiqued everything about them. And I trashed them to all my friends. And I was really glad they walked away. That's not the love that Peter's talking about that we should have for each other. And then he says, fear God and honor the King. I like that he puts it in perspective for us now. Because fear and honor are basically the same words that he's using here in Greek, but they're two different emphases. Fear God is like honor God, but at the most extreme level. And then honor the King is a little bit less. It's still honoring, respecting, but not quite as much as this fear God word that he's using. We're supposed to respect Him and submit to them both, but God the most, and then the King. And I want to tell you this. As you're supposed to submit to other people, the authorities in your life, your family, your parents that God put there on purpose for you, that you don't like the curfew they give you, I'm sorry, you got to obey it. You don't like the rules they put down because they're old and archaic and don't understand your life. As you obey these people, these teachers that you're like, ah, they don't know what they're talking about. That law doesn't make sense. This rule is stupid. You're not just obeying a law or your parents or your teacher. You are obeying the God of the universe. As you fear Him, He leads you to respect and honor and love and obey the people that He has specifically put in your life for a reason. And remember this, you have a much easier situation on your hands than the people He's telling to do this. Because He's telling these people, love these people that are dragging you out of your houses and killing you. He's looking at you saying, you have some loving parents in your life and some awesome teachers and a great country to live in. Respect and honor and love them. He's not saying, hey, there's an emperor that's going to drag you out and beat you in front of everybody. You need to love him and obey him. But we have it so much easier. But as we look at this, I want to encourage you guys one thing. No matter what happens, you put God first. But remember this, if you really are putting Him first, you're going to serve and love other people. And if you're not, ask yourself, is He really first? How many of you guys like Chick-fil-A? Me too. Oh, that's cool. All right. Tell me the difference then real quick. I'm closing with this, by the way, right? You're like, wow, it's already time. Chick-fil-A. You go to Chick-fil-A and I say, hey, thank you. What's going to be the response? My pleasure. Everybody knows that. Look at that. What if it's raining and I walk up to a door at Chick-fil-A? What's going to happen? They're not just going to open it. They're going to walk out with an umbrella and they're going to hold it over your head and walk you in. Had it happen, it was awesome. Chick-fil-A goes way above and beyond to serve you. To let you know through their actions that they're serving you and that you mean something to them and that you're important to them. This is just a chicken restaurant, guys. Just a chicken restaurant. But if I say which one has better customer service, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's?
Chick-fil-A.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. If Chick-fil-A can get it, shouldn't the Church of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe, be able to get it too? Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us and putting in place in our lives these authorities to give us direction and guidance. And Lord, whether we like it or not, they're from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. As our human nature is rebellious and we don't like to submit, God, teach us. Give us a servant heart. Let us look like Christ as He hung on a cross for people that hated Him. God, help us as we serve and love and reach out and submit to the authorities in our lives and obey them, because it's like obeying you. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, God, that you grab them and just bless them and love on them. Jesus, make us more like you. Give us this holiness that we keep studying about. It's in your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.